I learned recently are actually unhealthy for us. I knew that it was a bad idea, not natural, terrible that they don't label products that have GMO organisms in there, terrible that Monsanto is trying to take over the world. But I was at a panel discussion just a couple of nights ago, and I learned that there's all kinds of health problems, and we're going to find out more about that and also what's being done about that with our next guest. John Rulak, I believe, is with us now.
Yes, good to be here.
Great. John is the founder and CEO of a company called Nutiva, Nourishing People and Planet, and they were the sponsors of a wonderful film that was shown at this event I just mentioned called Seeds of Freedom, and it's everything you wanted to know or didn't want to know about GMO, didn't quite know where to ask or who to ask, maybe afraid to hear the actual facts, but important that we all understand it, especially with this critically important Proposition 37 on the California ballot. So we'll talk a little bit more about your company and how you came to start it, because you're really doing wonderful things. But let's first talk about what's at stake here with Proposition 37.
Yes, this is our right to know. Do we have a right to know what's in our food? And Prop 37, which will be on the ballot here November 6th in California, gives voters a chance to approve this, and this will require food companies just to say may contain GMO on packaged foods. The pesticide companies and the junk food companies are spending $1 million a day in TV and radio ads with misinformation. This is one of the most important food issues. People from around the world are looking at this from around the country. Michael Pollan just had a great article in the New York Times, you know, saying, you know, the food industry, you know, the foodies, this is their opportunity to have a voice about what's going to be in our food.
Foodies should get political around this issue.
Correct.
Take some time off from that slow food meal and hand out leaflets and get. There were a lot of signatures to get this on the ballot. And you said last night, as well as the other panelists, that there was a lot of passion behind those signatures, especially from mothers who don't normally necessarily get involved politically or that involved.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of women are very supportive of Prop 37. It's an issue around, you know, what are you feeding your kids and your family? And the basic idea is we have a right to know what's in our food. There's over 40 countries that require labeling of GMOs, you know, China, you know, France, England, Germany. And so if it works in those countries, why not America? And why not California? So California's on the front lines on this.
Kind of ironic, because I've just had two segments on climate change denial and the debates not mentioning climate change. All those countries also don't have the debate that we have, you know, seen here in this country on the reality of, you know, the climate crisis. What is with this country that should be so progressive that we're not, you know, letting the facts come through? And I guess it's the, it's pretty obvious. It's the depth and the clout of the fossil fuel industry and also the pesticide and chemical industries.
Yes, you hit on there that their economic interests, they're not interested in having people having a real conversation and having the facts come out. So they use a lot of scare tactics. You know, they're going to say this is going to ban products, this is going to hurt farmers, all these things that are not true. But it's up to people, individuals, and corporations that are a little more, let's say, enlightened, such as Nativa and Dr. Bronner's Nature's Path and Lundberg that have been working on this initiative and getting this onto the ballot and supporting it.
And why is it not true, in your opinion, that this would put farmers out of business and this would raise the cost of food prices for the average family significantly? Why is that a bunch of hype that is, scare tactics?
All this requires is companies that know there's GMOs just say may contain GMOs. If that's all it's required, farmers, if then a company like Cheerios decides, I don't want to put may contain GMOs, I want to have a non-GMO Cheerios, then they're going to ask the farmers and their processors to source non-GMO crops, and they can do that. And if people don't object with the non-GMO and their sales stay the same, then they can continue to do it as they are. So it'll be up to the marketplace to decide. You know, do people want to buy these GMOs? So it's not banning it. It's essentially just information, and then the marketplace will decide what products will be sold more. If there's more demand for non-GMO, the farmers will grow that. If there's less, then they'll grow less.
I think, as with climate change, a lot of it is lack of information. And even in our progressive Bay Area, I've had these green tea parties, which I've mentioned on the show, where I would start with an eco quiz, and I would say, first of all, a climate change-related question, how many know the significance of the number 350 in the context of climate change and greenhouse gas emissions? My next question would be, how many of you have heard of GMOs and understand what they are? And the third question was, how many of you have heard of the tar sands controversy? And the GMO question, I got about a third of the people had heard of it, but very few could actually explain what it is and what the threat was.
Exactly. Those people aren't aware. It's essentially GMOs when you insert a foreign gene into the DNA. And it's much different than breeding, selective breeding that we've been using for thousands of years to develop fruits and vegetables and grains and other food crops. Whereas GMO, you're inserting, for example, in corn, they insert a virus or a bacteria into the corn that will kill a particular insect. But now they're finding, Monsanto claims that this disappears and it does say, but now they're finding it in like over 90% of the blood of women and people, even people up in Canada, because these foods travel all over. Also, besides inserting foreign genes and foreign markers, it creates these unidentified gene fragments. And they said, nothing would be different in terms of when you eat it. But now they're finding these gene fragments are floating around in people's guts and things, and they don't really even know what they are or what's going to happen to them.
And yet,
the other thing was just real quickly is that the use of pesticides and herbicides on GMO crops versus non-GMO crops, a recent report came out, reported in the New York Times, 20% increase in the use of toxic chemicals in growing GMO crops. So it actually uses more chemicals, not less. As a matter of fact, Monsanto's cash flow, increase model to make more money is to sell seeds that require the chemicals that they sell, the Roundup herbicides.
Wow. There was a lot of comments from Dr. Michelle Perro, who's become an expert on this, and a really frightening list of ailments that she's seen a sharp increase in that she says are related to GMOs, even though she could not point to any particular scientific studies because they haven't done any except one done with mice or rats that they cut off, Monsanto cut off after 3 months, and these symptoms usually appear around month four, if I understood correctly.
Yes, Monsanto's research trials are limited, and when several of the researchers, which is shown in this movie Genetic Roulette, when showed that they had increased tumors, all sorts of other issues, compromised immune system, the researchers that presented this data was fired. From England, they tried to fire the UC Berkeley professor, pointing out that the GMOs from Monsanto was contaminating the 10,000-year-old indigenous corn from Mexico. Novartis and some of the other companies tried to run him out. There's a whole campaign against science with this, and then recently there was a report that came out in France, and they fed fed GMO crops and also Roundup Ready for 2 years to mice, or I think it was rats, and then the media all tried to discredit it, and they said, oh, these are the wrong kind of rats, but these are the same rats that Monsanto uses. But they do with this all this confusion. I mean, you just, the simple takeaway is these are the same companies that introduced DDT and PCBs, Agent Orange, and they all said those were all safe and tested.
They spread seeds of doubt, if you will. Some of the ailments were pretty scary. I mean, digestive tract problems, fatigue, maybe autism. And just by show of hands in the audience, it seemed like quite a few people had these ailments themselves. And, how are they to know, even though this is probably a more educated population, what includes GMO? Although I think you were pretty much saying if it has soy or corn in it, can we assume that it does at this point have some GMOs?
Correct. If it's soy or corn or canola sugar beets, sugar that's not identified as cane sugar, and it's not organic, it's gonna have GMOs in it.
Mm. Does that include like evaporated cane juice when they have that?
Evaporated
cane
juice is sugar or juice that is not from sugar beets, so that's non-GMO.
Okay, good. And they have that in a lot of the more natural products.
Correct, yes. One of the things that was interesting, the doctor on the panel stated that 30 years ago there was no clinics, fertility clinics. Today, there's huge demand for fertility issues because more and more couples who are wanting to have children are having issues around being able, you know, be able to have children for fertility concerns. And why is it that 30 years ago there weren't those issues, and today? Another example: autism was 1 in 10,000, maybe. Today, it's less than 1 in 100, or I'm not quite sure exact, but it's a much reduced. It's much more popular. So, why are these issues going on in the last 20, 25 years? And what's the major shift in food and what you can say in the last 3 years is the GMO crops? And so maybe we should take the precautionary principle and say these need to be tested, but the people doing the testing shouldn't be Monsanto scientists paid for to
you
say
think?
They're all safe.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet Prop 37, I think you said, has a 50-50 chance. Is it going to be that close, you think?
We've dropped from 67% down to about 48%. Yes, we're still ahead as of last week, but $1 million a day. And then the ironic part is that the multimillionaires who have made a lot of money in the natural food world, in the organic food business, are, for the most part, except for a couple, are missing in action. So while Monsanto is putting huge amounts of money, people who, you know, have made a lot of money in selling their company or taking it public, et cetera, or the VCs that have invested, et cetera, are not putting the money up. So we've only been able to raise $4 million, whereas the No on 37 has raised, you know, almost $40 million, and probably comes out, they'll probably put $60 or $70 million when all is said and done. So that's one of the challenges. The other thing, though, to mention is whether we win or lose Prop 37, the most important thing is we're using this as an educational tool to get people aware of this. And in England, they reached a tipping point with about 5% of the people said they're no longer going to buy GMO products and we want the food labeled. That's what happened. So if enough people say, I'm not going to buy a box of Cheerios or Skippy's peanut butter or Kashi cereal, etc., because there's GMOs and the awareness and the media comes out on this, then these companies will make a switch to non-GMO because they're going to lose market share, and the CEO will lose his performance bonuses, and the board of directors are going to hold them responsible. So that's what it's. That's our kind of our people's labeling campaign that we talked about at the film showing, is going to be important going forward, whether we win, lose, or draw on November 6th.
I want to talk about the film in a second, but interesting that you mentioned Kashi, because I think of that as one of the natural brands. Since you were in the natural products business, just roughly, what percentage of those brands that at least market themselves to be more natural contain GMOs? Any sense of that?
Yeah. The vast majority of Kashi's products have GMOs, but they have these idyllic, you know, pictures of fields, et cetera. Their majority of what they sell is non-organic, and it's anytime you natural essentially means nothing. So if you want to avoid GMOs, look for the USDA organic symbol. If it doesn't have that, most likely it's going to contain GMOs, unless if it's just like 100% oat product or something that doesn't have GMOs. But corn and soy and canola and sugar is in a lot of products.
And is it? I guess it depends on the product, which would determine what the quantity is of these GMO ingredients.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So it's product specific.
Yeah. Yeah. And really the power is in people's hands. As more people become aware and educated, companies respond to the marketplace. If people, you know, want, you know, if they want a car that's a hybrid, has better gas mileage, and if they say that's what they buy and they go out and buy it, then more people make those cars, just like that's why Toyota and other companies are doing that. And if people say they don't want GMO foods and they make a point about it and they educate people, then the companies will change. So it's not just only about what the companies are doing. It's also about educating people. And one thing I'd like to say is today, if you're interested in organic foods, It's not enough just for you to go to Whole Foods or go to a natural food store and buy organic foods, go to the farmer's market and think that that's going to protect our industry. Unfortunately, there's an assault from Monsanto. There's also assault from companies like Dean Foods that you know, the Monsanto of milk, that have bought some of these brands such as Horizon and Silk, and are systematically trying to weaken the standards of organic and trying to industrialize where they're, you know, having, you know, 5,000 cows in feedlots and trying to call that a organic sustainable system. So people need to become aware a little of the brands, and also to educate your friends. You know, use Facebook. A great thing would be to have a home party and show Genetic Roulette or show seedsoffreedom.info, etc. And Nativa's also produced a very short clip, provocative clip on GMOs, a video Monsanto doesn't want you to watch, and it's you can get that at nativa.com. It's a under two and a half minute clip on that. It's already gotten almost 200,000 views in 1 month.
Wow. So in just the last couple of minutes, tell us how Nativa got into the business of sponsoring these important films, and also just the genesis of the company, since you are the founder and CEO. What motivated you to launch Nativa?
Yeah. Well, I founded Nativa in 1999, and our focus is organic hemp, coconut, and chia superfoods. 100% of all the products we sell are certified organic. And when we started out, I've been a passionate, advocate and entrepreneur in the organic space. I've written, 4 books on hemp and composting. And I love organics, and I want to see a world that's healthier and more organic and less GMOs and toxic chemicals. We donate 1% of our sales to groups promoting sustainable agriculture. And as part of our company's DNA, we want to see Prop 37 pass. So we've donated $55,000 to the Prop 37 campaign. We sponsored these films because I really liked the seedsoffreedom.info. So we're showing our 4 theaters throughout the Bay Area in October and November. We were one of the first companies to label non-GMO on our packages, even when the FDA said that was illegal.
Mm. That is a great film. I learned a lot, and it really shows the plight of, you know, small farmers around the world threatened by GMO.
Definitely. Really, we're also growing very rapidly. We've been Inc. Magazine fastest growing company 4 years in a row, and people can find out more by going to nutiva.com. And also our Facebook wall, we have a lot of information there about films and products and how to live a healthier, more organic lifestyle, and lots of information on resources on how to get more organic foods versus GMOs.
Well, on a personal note, I'm very happy to know about your company and products because a lot of people have tried to get healthier, and now coconut oil and chia seeds are in my pantry and part of my regular food preparation. I'm going to start experimenting with hemp protein, hemp seeds and oils as well. So thank you for your contribution to making all of us healthier and also
thanks
to educating us.
Yeah,
John Roulette is founder and CEO of Nativa, nourishing people and the planet. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. I certainly have enjoyed interviewing the guests. If you'd like to hear more, if you didn't catch the entire program, you can go to prn.fm or my website, which is thegreenfront.com. See you next time. In the meantime, have a great green week.